a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Okay, we'll start. Good morning. Welcome to the second week of session. Just a few things about what's going on in the House to start things off. Of course, we're developing and talking about our strategies on the governor's budget, his proposals, where he's headed, and how our respective caucus is determining how we're going to are the pros and cons of what was stated last week. Continue to talk about, as we always do, at the beginning of session, how are we going to address education, which is always a priority for everyone, along with the providers and the Board of Regents. We passed some consumer protection bills in the House this week, for insurance reasons. I think pretty overwhelmingly, I think there was seven no votes on three bills. The report came out that South Dakota's number two in freedom. That's great. We're also one of the top business climates in the country. We're also one of the best run states in the country. And so part of our message is starting to form around why doesn't Washington, D.C. take a look at us once, see how we do things. We do things responsibly. We don't necessarily have a lot of time, but we do take time and consider what we do. We're developing some strategies on a number of different issues that have been brought forth, dealing whether it's Medicaid expansion, Common Core that the Senate dealt with yesterday, and all these topics are in play. We're hoping next week we'll have a little more direction as to where our legislators are going. The unlimited bill deadline is Wednesday. And once that comes about, we're going to have a huge influx. We haven't had as many bills in as we normally do by now, so we're expecting to have a huge load come next Thursday. And then, the following Tuesday will be the deadline for bills. So I'm just kind of sitting back, taking our time, looking over everything. And with that, I'll turn it over to Larry.
Well, thank you. Pleasure to be here. Well, we just finished our second week, and this is my 14th legislative session, and it's always interesting to see how things lay out. This is a poor time to be doing a press conference because there's so much stuff floating out there and nothing's really solidified. First week, first and second week, we have a lot of time to take care of formalities and get new members up to speed. Obviously, we had the State of the State address. We had the State of the Judiciary yesterday. We had a memorial service. A lot of informational meetings taking place in the committee process. The committees haven't really got into full swing. I chair the State Affairs Committee, and one of the problems we always deal with in State Affairs is the type of bills that we address in State Affairs are some of the more significant legislation, and legislators tend to hang on to those to get the details ironed out till right up to deadline before they introduce them. And then we go from having nothing on our docket to a pretty big bill load. Next week, Wednesday, is the first deadline that we'll face. That's the unlimited deadline. The bills have to be dropped. After Wednesday, each legislator can introduce another three bills, no more than three in addition to that. So by the end of next week, the picture will come into focus a lot clearer where we're at. Right now, the appropriations, the appropriators have been doing their job, and diligently so. They spent a lot of hours in hearings. This week was dedicated to education. Next week, they'll be taking up Department of Social Services. When you consider that those two agencies alone are responsible and consume 85% of our budget, you realize the magnitude of their job to sift through that to prepare the legislators. We have a number of issues that we do know that are coming about. We dealt with the Common Core bills yesterday, in the Senate. We'll talk a little more about them. I know some of the other issues that are going to garner a lot of discussion, the death penalty bill, to repeal the death penalty. Also, in the world of ag, I'm on the Ag Committee, and we have a felony animal abuse statute that will be considered in the legislature. Education funding, always a top issue. There's legislation coming out of the task force dealing with education funding. Personally, I've been working on trying to find if there's avenues of assistance or ways to provide some stopgap measures for ranchers that suffered extreme loss as a result of the Winter Storm Atlas in our area of the state. I think we all realize just how devastating that was to people in our part of the world. It was just absolutely surreal to see the devastation that it took place in some areas of our state dealing with that. Other issues I think will come up that I'm involved in. One that is a balanced budget amendment. I think issues like that are just a symptom of the realization that we need to do something to curb the problems that we see at the federal level. I think Representative Cronin stated some of the, when it was brought out in the state of the state, we have a great deal to be thankful for in South Dakota. And I think sometimes we tend to overlook that. I was recently at a conference, and I was visiting with a legislator from Illinois, and she was sharing with me that their retirement system was over $100 billion in debt, and they were trying to figure out desperately what to do with that problem. And I had to kind of laugh a little bit. I said, well, we in South Dakota, you're over $100 billion in debt. In South Dakota, our retirement system is over 100% fully funded. And, I think that's a pretty distinct difference of liberal state, conservative state. People that live within their means understand that you can't spend more than you make. And I think that's the overriding attitude of the legislators that have been here for a number of years and will continue to be. So with that, I know there's probably a lot of questions concerning what might be on our plates, and we'd be happy to answer them.
Yeah, you mentioned, Representative Cronin, you mentioned Medicaid expansion. Is there a real possibility that the legislature could do something on that with waivers or some sort of thing this year?
Well, thank you. The question being, is there something that the legislature can do for Medicaid as far as the waivers or expansion? The discussions are happening. It's a very important issue to a large majority of the calls I get and the emails I receive. I think going back to my opening statements about what the federal government does and doesn't allow us to do, waivers have typically, from a number of states, have not necessarily been received well at the federal government level. And I think in order for this to work for the federal government, in my eyes, they need states to participate. But they also need to understand that we run our state how we think it should be best run. And mandates have always been a problem with me personally and overall an arching problem with the state. And give us the flexibility to write something up that we feel would benefit those. And unfortunately, other states have tried to do the same thing and they have been turned down. So I think that's probably more of the discussion. Sit back and see what the federal government has done, and that was the position of the governor last year and the position of the governor, I think, right now. But the discussions are definitely happening because we wouldn't be good stewards of the state if we weren't talking about options of what we can and can't do.
Further questions?
Nate with South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Okay, so the teacher shortage resolution was voted down this week by the Senate. Any opinion as to why that wasn't passed?
I think that, there were a lot of things at play on the vote on the resolution. First of all, it was a resolution. I think there's a certain segment of the caucus, at least in the Republicans, that take are fairly cautious about resolutions just because of the intent and what they accomplish. I think resolutions have a proper place, and I think some question whether or not it accomplished anything. Second of all, I think there were just differing opinions, and this is what I just gather from individual conversations. I don't think there was any strong opposition. By nature of being a resolution, by nature of just some of the language, you're asking me to speculate on people that voted no. I voted yes on the resolution, but I had no strong feelings one way or the other because of those things. One thing I will say that I think we've recognized as an error from people, members of my caucus that voted no, that came up to me afterwards, and because many of them I think were similar to me, they really had no strong feelings on it, and they voted no. Several have commented to me that it wasn't good process because one of them, two of them, whoever, should have got up and stated their case before voting no. I think it caught a lot of people on their heels because nobody expected it to fail. When it did, it was like, we didn't serve the process well here today. And I think that a lot of people learned from their mistakes. A lesson we probably already learned, but I don't think you'll see that happen again this session.
Again, Nate with SDPB. I asked the Dems this question. I guess I'll ask you guys as well. Christine Ohm was here, and she spoke a lot about the problem of sex trafficking here in South Dakota, and not just in one particular area, but in areas all around the state. What kind of discussions are you both having involving that and correcting that issue?
Well, I'll start out by saying, I can't remember what year it was. I think 5-6 years ago, I was first approached by then Senator Joni Cutler about being the House prime on a bill establishing a task force on sex trafficking. And I recall when she first came to me, it's like, really? South Dakota? In the years since then, it's become more and more evident that is a problem. We do need to address that. And in South Dakota, of all states, we need to address that. So we've been having more and more conversations in the years since then. This year, Christy, part of her, Representative Noem, I'm sorry, highlighted that as an issue they're dealing with at the federal level. I think we are very interested in doing what we can do at the state level to help assist her and to identify and deal with the problem in South Dakota.
I would just say, I was probably one of many in the chamber that sat back in my chair and said, wow. I come from an area of the state that my kids walk down the street. We don't lock our doors. We don't lock our cars. We don't worry about stuff like that. But I'm appalled that this wasn't necessarily brought to my attention in as much detail. I remember that legislation. It was my first year here, and we obviously thought there wasn't a problem. And obviously there is. There was a stark remarks and facts that make us have to sit back and think about our children. I mean, things can happen in any town, and especially when the word of hunting lodges comes up. Hunting lodges aren't located in 10 miles out of Sioux Falls. They're everywhere in our state. And I think that really brought home a message that I had not taken into heart. And I think everyone is going to take a very strong look at doing whatever we can to help out with this. And I think I think that it embarrasses me personally that was the first time I had ever heard about it in such stark contrast, and it will be dealt with.
If I could just have one follow-up real quick, too. What's, like, when trying to deal with this, you know, what are some of the challenges that stand in your way when trying to address sex trafficking? Because I know there's maybe not one right way of addressing it, but what are some of the challenges that kind of stand in the way of getting to the meat of the issue?
For me, I'll say, obviously, my first challenge was not being informed of the amount and the issue itself. I don't think anything can stand in front of us protecting our communities, our children, our families, and the values that we hold dear in our hearts in South Dakota. So the challenge for me personally is I will be reading up on the issue.
You know, I think from a legislative perspective, always the challenge is identifying the problem, identifying the solution. You know, I think we've identified that there's a problem. We have some distinct, I think, unique problems as far as how to address it in South Dakota. And I'm speaking from my own district, Sturgis, South Dakota, obviously the Rally. You know, that's a pretty unique environment to try and deal with. We can deal with it in Sioux Falls, and we have law enforcement that's adequate. I think it's pretty easy to wrap your arms around the issue in these communities and the state in whole. But when you have a situation where we double the population of the state in one city with a normal population of 6,000, I've seen firsthand. My brother is a deputy sheriff in Meade County, and so he's worked the Rally for a number of years, and that will be a tough one to address. Because it is so difficult to provide enough law enforcement just to deal with the day-to-day problems. If you have issues like this, I'm not saying that I don't think that we can, and I think that we will, but it's a unique problem.
Just one more comment on that. You know, the technology is a great thing, and it has moved our society so much farther forward than one could expect. But That is where this happens, I think part of the solution will have to be some education as a parent, and education throughout our communities to our children. You know, you don't have to have the most friends on Facebook. You don't have to answer everything that comes to you, and I think there needs to be something looked into there, because that's where. You know, the congresswoman said our predators are coming, and they're the ones creating the marketplace. And what can we do there? And how can technology help us solve a big problem?
Any further questions at this time?
Yeah, I've got one, Senator Roden. You mentioned finding a way to help ranchers who were hurt when they lost so many cattle during that October storm. What kind of things are you looking at?
Well, Representative Kamak and I had been working on a bill draft with the concept of a state loan guarantee, where we would guarantee, I think the language we'd picked was 75% of the loan would be guaranteed by the state, and an interest buy-down. I'll tell you, that's where we started. You know, there are a lot of things to consider, and we're in the process now, before we introduce any bill, to consider those, the ramifications and the fallout of that. I think there's concerns about establishing a precedence. Gary and I met with the Secretary of Ag just this morning to talk about other options that are already in place through the Department of Ag, and I won't comment in detail about that, but I think there are some avenues that we may well opt to do rather than legislation to provide assistance to ranchers that got hit the hardest. Programs that I think that have already been implemented and already funded and have the infrastructure to step in the breach and maybe provide some assistance for the ranchers that otherwise couldn't receive the funding, and will help assist them in paying the interest. So more on that later, but right now we're moving forward to try and resolve some of those issues.
Just a reminder that we do welcome questions from those calling on the line. Do we have any? Any further questions?
Not even going to talk about Common Core, huh?
Well, thank you. Thank you guys very much. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.